The recording has restarted at 9:45. Just a point of clarification, Mr. Harris, Mr. Barton, is this a recusal or is this just abstaining at this point? Should this case need to come back again?
You know, actually, if it's okay, Josh Martin, the minutes will just reflect that you left the meeting at this time, and then the minutes will reflect when you rejoin the meeting.
Yeah, that's fine. So I think this is officially an abstention, not a recusal. I used the wrong language. My apologies.
No, that's okay. Thank you so much.
Let the record show that Mr. Barton has left the meeting at 9:46.
Thanks, Judy.
And the recording did restart at 9:45, in case I failed to say that. Dr. Bastillo.
Okay, so we will move to our next informal hearing, which is case 2330, Jitin Dungarani. We'll have Ms. Chepius call roll.
Dr. King, professional member, board chair.
Present.
Dr. Bastillo, professional member, board vice chair.
Present.
Mr. Leone, professional member, board secretary.
Present.
Mr. Greer, public member.
Present.
Mr. Barton is now absent. Ms. Richardson, investigator.
Present.
Ms. Sinish, investigator.
Present.
Ms. Crowley, administrative services officer.
Present.
And my name is Judy Chepius, executive director. Dr. Bastillo.
Great. Okay, so Dr. Dungarani, are you represented by counsel?
Yes.
Okay, can you and your attorney introduce yourselves, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam President, members of the board, Leah Shacker, on behalf of Jitin Dungarani, who is present with me.
Great. And is the complainant on the call?
I didn't see her, and I don't know if Dr. Sinish had heard from the complainant either.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so this interview is being held pursuant to ARS 322046. The purpose of an informal hearing is to hear relevant facts by way of testimony and exhibits to determine if a violation of any of board statutes or rules has occurred. If the board finds a violation, it may take any of the following actions: issue a decree of censure, place restrictions on a licensee's practice, issue a civil penalty not to exceed $500, issue other disciplinary actions, issue a non-disciplinary order requiring completion of specific continuing education. If the board finds a violation or possible violations of statute or rule is not sufficiently serious to warrant serious action, the board may issue non-disciplinary advisory letter. The board finds that there was no violation of board statutes or rules, the case may be dismissed. If the board finds that the violation warrants potential suspension or revocation of the license or certificate, the board shall vote the matter to a formal hearing. Ms. Chepius, can I have you swear in all the witnesses, please?
I believe Ms. Sinish will be presenting this. Ms. Richardson?
I'll be sworn in just in case there's questions for me. I started the investigation.
Thank you. So Ms. Richardson, Ms. Sinish, Mr. Dungarani, please raise your right hand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Ms. Richardson?
I do.
Ms. Sinish?
I do.
Mr. Dungarani?
I do.
Thank you. Dr. Bastillo?
Thank you. Reminder to please use the patient, refer to the patient by initials only. All right, so will it be Ms. Richardson or Ms. Sinus that gives us the overview?
I'll be giving it to you this morning. Patient CA filed a complaint alleging that Dr. Dungarani injured her right knee when he completed a grind test during her initial evaluation on March 27, 2023. At the September 2023 meeting, the board voted to move case 2330 to an informal hearing with additional investigation. Specifically, the board requested medical records from CA's follow-up care. The board also requested review of three additional medical records, including initial evaluations and progress notes, with initiation of care occurring on or about March 27th, 2023. CA's urgent care visit record is included as Exhibit 5. A supplemental investigative report is included as Exhibit 6, with associated medical records included as Exhibits 7 through 9. The findings in the supplemental review supported the findings from the investigative report and also identified a potential additional violation for the board to consider. Dr. Dungarani and his counsel received a copy of the supplemental investigative report and provided a written response included as Exhibit 10. Potential violations cited in the investigative report and supplemental review include ARS 32-2044, engaging in the performance of substandard care by a physical therapist due to a deliberate or negligent act or failure to act regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established, ARS 32-2044-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed, ARS 32-2044-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records, and as it relates to R4-24-304, adequate patient records, and ARS 32-2042, use of titles, restrictions, violation, classification, and as it relates to R4-24-302, use of titles.
Great. Thank you. Dr. Dungarani, would you or your attorney like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Madam President. First, I just want to be sure that the board has also received what we provided yesterday in the way of an expert report, an expert report and some additional documentation.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So just to separate these two issues out, the first being the complaint from patient CA, Dr. Dungarani did not perform the patellar grind test on this patient. I understand that the urgent care records show that she had reported an injury to her knee and had a diagnosis of effusion and hyperextension injury. As you can see from the expert report of Dr. Michael McKee, he notes that the patellar grind test is a well-recognized and accepted test. It would have been appropriate to perform on this patient if it had been done. A positive test will elicit pain. So that is the positive test for a patellar grind test. It is not a test that the patient is informed of beforehand because it is supposed to yield some pain to that the patient is not going to be aware of. However, it is certainly possible to elicit pain in other therapy whenever there is already an existing knee injury if the provider is anywhere near the knee. And that's precisely what happened here in this case. And it's documented in Mr. Dungarani's note that the patient reported pain on the straight leg raise. That is when the pain occurred because Mr. Dungarani was assisting the patient with raising her leg in the straight leg raised while she was in the supine position. He had his hand adjacent to her patella or adjacent to the knee somewhere, and she expressed that she had pain. The activity was immediately discontinued. That's documented on his note on page 4. Regarding the urgent care records, these are also detailed in Dr. McKee's report. I think it's notable that the patient did not report to the provider that the patellar grind test was used. This is something that she has raised later in her complaint, but never did she use that language to her provider. You would expect that he would have documented that that is what test was being performed per the patient complaint, but she did not make any such statement. It's unclear if the individual assessing her at the urgent care made reference to that test or where she learned of it, but it was not in treatment with Mr. Dungarani. Notably, the PA who she saw at the urgent care, it seems to be relying on the patient's self-reported mechanism of injury regarding hyperextension. There's no tests to show how he diagnosed hyperextension, and notably the posterior drawer test was negative, which is the only test he used that could diagnose some hyperextension. In addition, the joint effusion, it's not documented how he came to that conclusion, and it is a nonspecific response to a knee injury, which importantly, this patient presented with a knee injury. She complained of a knee injury. She complained that her pain was level 9 out of 10. She also reported that she injured herself when she tripped over chicken wire in a parking lot. So these self-reports from the patient herself indicate that her knee injury is the result of a pre-existing condition. And I urge the board not to draw any conclusion about the cause of her knee injury without proper prior documentation, either from her primary care providers or her physical therapist at a minimum. Finally, we ask the board to not overlook the numerous complaints that this patient already has. I think most strikingly similar is CD 2019-00398, where she alleged she was violently, physically, and verbally assaulted by an MRI tech. She alleged intentional assault and battery. That case was dismissed. In CD 2019-00-3699, she claimed she got caught by loose wiring and violently fell and lost consciousness and sustained severe and permanent injury. In CD 2000-034-015, she claimed she slipped on a curb, which was freshly painted with gray paint, and she suffered permanent and residual disabilities. So at a minimum, these show her propensity for lodging complaints, but also they show that she has pre-existing injuries that she presented to Mr. Dungrani with. So we can't rely on a single urgent care visit to diagnose or determine that her injury was in any way caused by Mr. Dungrani, because it was not. I would also note that the patient reports PTSD and cognitive issues. So when the board is assessing her credibility, I would ask that they take that into consideration as well. Now, as far as the renewed investigation or the separate investigation that stemmed from that initial complaint, the majority of the issues were related to Mr. Dungrani's documentation rather than the treatment itself. There were deficiencies in the documentation, which it acknowledges. He has been practicing for 11 years without a patient complaint. Notably, one of the patients that was involved in the audit left him a 5-star review. None of them lodged their own complaints. Mr. Dungrani strives to provide high quality care and one-on-one care to his patients, but this has been an eye-opening experience for him, recognizing the strains of the job while trying to run his clinic and do everything himself. As a result of this investigation, he's enhanced his templates. We provided those to the board. He's included consent conversations as well as the consent form. He's using an AI tool in health to help document or detect missing charting documentation. He's reviewed all the board rules, regulations, and conducted some continuing education on his own accord in documentation and ethics. And he is engaging in much greater diligence in reviewing and signing off on his notes in a timely manner with the appropriate signature. Finally, just as far as unreasonable or fraudulent fees, that has never been anything Mr. Dungrani has intended. It's a result of his deficient documentation that activities that were performed were not properly charted, but they were performed. And so he is also seeking additional continuing education on proper billing as well. So we are requesting that the board consider all the information we've provided and not raise this to the level of discipline. Mr. Dungrani is willing to accept any continuing education the board sees is fit, and he's happy to take any questions from the board.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do any of the board members have questions?
Mr. Dungrani, it's Kelly King. A question. So since you have taken some EUs, Mr. Carr, that you've changed your documentation, can you tell us a little more about what your documentation looks like at this point?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, I want to thank you all the board members and taking time and providing me this opportunity to correct myself. To answer your question, Dr. King, so prior to this complaint, we had a default a documentation format, if you will, that were kind of minimum of the things that I was documenting before, but now I've made different templates for all different genetic conditions or body parts, and in detail having different things that I need to fill out, including consent form or consent to the treatment, consent to the evaluation, also range of motion, manual muscle testing, and some of the other tests relevant to those body parts or what have you. So it's much more detailed going forward, which has already started happening with my practice or within my practice for myself. And same goes for daily notes, daily documentation, as well as progress reports and discharge summary.
And Ms. King, as well, we provided some screenshots with our supplemental response that hopefully the board received that shows some of the itemized within the SOAP formatting of how he has gone to itemize in detail, kind of numerated areas that he has to fill out.
Thank you so much.
So will that also include areas that are considered within normal limits? Do you put that in there now, or do you still leave those areas blank?
No, Dr. Castillo. So if it is within normal limits, I would still like to fill out all the numbers as far as the range of motion and also comparing to the other side to see what is the discrepancy or what have you. So I'm filling out as much information as I can versus living to within normal limits or within functional limits or more of a generalized category. I'm leaving that away from my documentation.
Great, thank you. Anybody else have questions?
With regard to the grind test, was a grind test performed or not?
No, sir.
This may be a question for the attorney. If the grind test was not performed, why do we have the expert report of Mr. McGee telling us that that's appropriate treatment?
And that's a good question. So, Mr. Greer, the reason for that being is because at the last board meeting, there was not any discussion about if this were performed, would it be appropriate? It sounded like the board was concerned that the grind test was an assault or would have been an assault. And Dr. McGee is in a position to determine whether or not it was. As you can see, he just notes that per the information he has, Mr. Dungrani did not perform or states he did not perform the grind test. But had the grind test been performed, assuming arguendo, the board believed the patient in that she claims the grind test was performed, it is an appropriate test. It's a well-recognized, well-accepted test. It's not meant to injure a patient. It's not meant to insult, provoke, injure, assault them in terms of what she claims, but rather it's an appropriate test. It would be appropriate if it were performed on this patient. It's a recognized test, and it's not meant to result in any injury to this patient. So we wanted to make sure there was clear perspective for the board because there were some concerns. It seemed like, oh, my goodness, if this test had been performed, that's inappropriate. That's not correct. It would have been appropriate. It was not performed, but regardless, had it been, it would be an appropriate test.
So just so I understand, it's your position that we don't need to consider Mr. McGee's report because the test was not performed.
No, I think that it's reasonable to consider if the board is considering that the patient is being truthful and honest, that she was somehow assaulted by the performance of a patellar grind test, then you have to consider that portion of Dr. McKee's report. If the board believes Mr. Dungrani that he did not perform a grind test, then you don't have to look at why a grind test, when and how a grind test is appropriate. Now, the remainder of Dr. McKee's report is still relevant in terms of his findings regarding the urgent care visit and the care and treatment that was rendered by the PA at the urgent care. So hopefully I answered your question. If you want me to elaborate further, I'm happy to do so.
I think I understand your response, but again, it is your position there was no grind test performed.
That is correct. And that is consistent with the fact that it was not documented that it was performed, and consistent with what Mr. Dungrani has said from the outset of this case. And he wouldn't document, well, he's working on improving his documentation to include a lot more information. He still would not be required to document, you know, that a grind test was not performed.
Right.
Mr. Dungrani, I have some questions still around the coding and billing aspect of things. So you've made some changes to your documentation, you said, but what changes have you made to your coding and or your coding in general?
So Mr. Leone, it kind of falls back onto documentation a little bit because the discrepancy that were found, and when I reflect back to it, some of those notes were kind of carried forward from the previous note. And most of the times I do make sure that it is written what has happened during the session, but may have been an oversight on a couple of cases, for instance, where I did not change and carry over happened and it did not have documentation of that treatment performed. However, it was billed because it was performed. So it is definitely falling more on the documentation side, but again, there has never been a situation where I would bill something that I did not do.
And I'm not necessarily looking at it from the perspective of something that you didn't do. I'm looking at it more from the perspective of how do you justify that a quad set is therapeutic activity? How do you justify that a cervical isometric is therapeutic activity rather than it fitting under, say, a neuromuscular category where it probably should be?
Correct. So some of them, for example, case number two, cervical exercise that were done and coded as therapeutic activities versus neuromuscular reeducation. I that is something that I am trying to improve as far as the coding goes, how that should be coded. However, on some of the other coded, which I did, for example, quad sets, you know, my justification was to improve their walking or their strength to walk better or walk longer distance or what have you. So the justification part, of course, again, it's my mistake that is missing in the documentation, but justifying that towards the therapeutic activity. And so that was built under therapeutic activities and instead of exercises. Excuse me.
Okay.
And additional CEUs in the billing, so he has a, you know, better, more thorough understanding of doing that correctly, is something that he's looked into and is happy to do as well.
And in addition to that as well, a prediction health, the AI tool that we were talking about, that is definitely going to help me with that, improve my practice overall, as far as how I'm billing. If there is any corrective action that I need to take, it's going to notify me right away as to this is more appropriate for TA versus TE or neuromuscular reeducation. And if there is more documentation needed, then that is also something that would kind of alert me on. So few additional extra steps that I'm taking to correct those oversights or mistakes that I've made in the past.
Excellent. Thank you.
Any other questions? Would you like to make a closing statement?
Yes. I would like to thank all the board members for your valuable time. This has really been an experience where I feel like you know, I'm not doing justification to my documentation, even though I am providing or trying to provide the best care for my patient. But having to document is another thing that I need to put in perspective, and I'm definitely going to do that. So thank you for the opportunity for me to express this in front of you, and this has really been an eye-opening for me.
Okay, this will conclude our interview and questions process of the hearing, and the board will go into deliberations at this point. Does anyone have any initial thoughts?
It's Kelly. I have a question. Yvonne, are you satisfied with the response around billing and coding and his understanding of that? I know that's certainly your area of expertise.
No, I'm not. I would definitely like to see more education in regards to that. I was happy that they stated that he understands that's an area that he needs to improve in. But I'd like to see action on that as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Greer.
I always struggle with these very technical cases. You know, frankly, I don't know if there was a grind test performed or not. I strongly suspect that there was. And this may just be the litigator in me, but why provide an expert opinion saying it was appropriate if there was no grind test performed? And I understand the legal argument as well. We just want to make sure that if you don't believe us, we do it. But, you know, I have some problems with this case.
Right. So, I don't know, maybe I can enlighten you slightly. It looks like Dr. Dungarani really only looked at the patient's low back during the initial eval and really wasn't looking at the knee. And hand positioning during a straight leg raise could be, as the attorney did state, that the hand was adjacent to the knee as the leg was being lifted up into the air. And if the patient did contract their quadricep during that time, which does happen sometimes, even though it is supposed to be a passive test, you know, it could have elicited pain. And so I'm less inclined to believe that there was a grind test that was performed during this particular encounter. But I have incredibly serious concerns about the documentation. And I would agree with the other professional members that there really needs to be some significant remediation in this area.
Yeah, and I looked at the screenshots of the templates and everything. You know, because I work in WebPT SOAP 2.0, I know that you can put all the stuff in there that you want, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have to fill it out. It's not going to require you to fill it out. So what exactly is building the templates going to do to make sure that that information does make it in there? Because all the evals that I'm looking at that were submitted to us, it's missing everything that goes into an eval.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree with you, Mr. Leone, that it's the documentation is beyond poor.
Yeah.
And so at least from my thoughts, I really feel like we need quite a bit of education, but I would also like to see some monitoring done so that we can ensure that there has been improvement.
I would agree.
That as well. It sounds like we're that.
Can you restate that, Kelly?
Sure. It sounds like we're discussing that the patient's complaint about substandard care and injury is not necessarily substantiated. The board's bigger concern is around documentation, billing and coding, and appropriateness there.
Yeah.
I guess we should take each one of the areas here, and I don't have the statutes in front of me for the allegations.
I have them here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So the first one was 32-20-44 for the engaging in performance of substandard care by a physical therapist, which, I mean, I would be in agreement with Dr. King and Dr. Bustillo. I don't think that one is necessarily substantiated. That was the complaint regarding the patellar grind test.
Right.
And then we had ARS 32-20-44-13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fee for services performed or not performed. And then 32-20-44-20, failing to maintain adequate patient records. And then R4-24-304, adequate patient records. So those I would definitely find to be true.
Would you like to make a motion on findings of fact?
Yeah, I would move that we adopt the findings of fact of ARS 32-20-44-13, ARS 32-20-44-20, and R4-24-304.
I may also just add in there was also the 32-20-42 use of titles with R24-302 use of titles.
Yeah. That one as well.
Kelly King, second.
Any discussion on that? I would agree that all of those are what we're really looking at right now. Okay, if there's no discussion, Judy, would you call the question, please?
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the allegation and potential violations as set forth in the investigative report as findings of fact and conclusions of law, including ARS 32-20-44-13, 32-20-44-20, 32, and as it relates to AAC R4-24-304, and 32-20-42, as it relates to, and as it relates to R4-24-302. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastille.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Okay, so I think I will attempt a board order here, and it's certainly open for modification. I'd like to see a board order that looks at 8 hours of documentation, CEUs, and 3 hours of billing and coding. And I would like to also see 3 months of chart monitoring of three charts, inclusive of initial evaluations, daily notes, and possible discharge summary over the course of 9 months.
Dr. Bertillo, are you suggesting that essentially probation with those items, and then if he gets them all done in 9 months, then it's for early termination? Is that part of it as well? Or
I think he can do that if he can get the continuing education done and the monitoring done.
Okay.
In that period of time.
Thank you. Motion.
I would also include in the documentation or monitoring the progress notes as well.
Yes. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Point of clarification on the monitoring. So you said initial evaluation notes and discharge notes, that you want a minimum of 3 records monthly for a period of 3 months.
Yes.
Include within a 9-month probationary period. Okay.
And we're going to add progress notes in with the, so it'll be initial evaluation, daily notes, progress notes, and discharge summary.
And then Judy, please add, that the chair will be okay with this, that the monitoring needs to be done by an external approved monitoring organization.
Thank you.
Any other additions or discussion on the motion?
Should be clarified, Karen, maybe you said that the CEUs that he's already taken do not count toward the CEUs that you're as part of your motion.
Yes. Okay. CEUs will not count towards renewal.
Okay, thank you.
And then I guess one more thing to add would be, are we allowing what has been taken already to apply toward the CEUs?
I think I just asked that. I mean, my suggestion would be no, because the screenshots we've received don't show what we needed to see. But Karen, what are your thoughts?
I'm with you on that, Dr. King, that they would all have to be new.
Okay.
May I request a point of clarification on that?
Sure.
Thank you. I wasn't sure if it was that the CEUs he's already taken will not count towards license renewal, or they, I understood they won't count towards this order, but will he be able to use those CEUs possibly towards the license renewal?
He should be able to because they're independent of the board order.
Okay, thank you.
Can you read back that motion, Judy?
Who did the second?
Oh, go ahead.
Dr. King.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Okay. In case 2330, Jitin Vengirani, PT, it has been moved and seconded to issue a board order to include probation for 9 months with the possibility of early termination after successful completion of the following terms. Continuing education in the area of documentation for a minimum of 8 hours, in the area of billing and coding for a minimum of 3 hours. All continuing education shall be completed within 9 months. Courses must be pre-approved, may be completed online, and do not count towards renewal requirements. Additionally, clinical monitoring to be performed by a professional monitoring company approved by the board and to occur on a monthly basis to include a minimum of 3 records monthly for a period of 3 months to assess initial evaluation, daily notes, progress notes, and discharge summary. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Okay, I think we're ready for the vote.
Okay. In case 2330, Jitin Dungarani, PT, it has been moved and seconded to issue a board order to include probation for a period of 9 months with the possibility of early termination after successful completion of the following terms. Continuing education in the area of documentation for a minimum of 8 hours and in the area of billing and coding for a minimum of 3 hours. Continuing education shall be completed within 9 months. Courses must be pre-approved and may be completed online and do not count towards renewal requirements. Additionally, clinical monitoring is to be performed by a professional monitoring company approved by the board and to occur on a monthly basis to include a minimum of 3 records for a period, 3 records monthly for a period of 3 months to assess initial evaluation, daily notes, progress notes, and discharge summary. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Right. The board will be in touch with you regarding the specifics of the order.
Thank you.
All right. Good luck. Okay. Would everybody appreciate a short break here?
Sure.
Okay. So it's 5 or 10 minutes, Judy.
That's up to you, Dr. Basio.
5 is fine with me.
Okay. The recording will stop at 9:29. The board will be in recess until, the recording will stop at 10:29. The board will be in recess until 10:34.